The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
So again, I stand ready to continue to talk about the assessment and what we did during that period of time. There was absolutely no conspiracy, and we continue to stand behind what it is that we have said publicly.
But do you worry at all that the Trump loyalists who are installed in those key positions would find a way to punish you regardless of what the evidence reveals?
Well, I guess they're going to do what they were going to do, Anna. I just feel as though what we did was right. It was legitimate. It was based on our authorities and responsibilities. We would have been derelict if we didn't do these things.
Fox News alert, Republican Senator Chuck Grassley releasing bombshell evidence tying Hillary and Obama to the Russia hoax. One email says, quote, HRC approved campaign advisor Julie's idea about Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections. That should distract people from her own missing emails. Here's another smoking gun. Quote, among other things, the Clinton staff with support from special services is preparing scandalous revelations of business relations between Trump and the Russian mafia. Who's special services? Hillary wasn't a lone wolf. The docs say this was a full team effort. George Soros's people worked with the DNC to roll out the hoax. And the FBI was in on it the whole time. Soros' people just responded calling it an outrageous falsehood. But here's Hillary's campaign advisor saying this, quote, Julie says it'll be a long-term affair to demonize Putin and Trump. Now it is good for a post-convention bounce. Later, the FBI will put more oil into the fire. Obama and Biden knew what was going on. And if you questioned the plan, you were threatened. If you didn't play ball, you weren't getting paid. Clapper's crew threatened a CIA analyst by withholding promotions. Quote, you need to trust me on this, stating that the employee would need to demonstrate his ability to outgrow his refusal to sign off on the dirty docs.
And at the same time, we now know from an email that Hillary Clinton, to distract from her own email scandal problems, set up the narrative that became Crossfire Hurricane, blaming Trump of being a Russian agent. And they planned this, coordinating between the campaign and this organization to create this storyline. That's what's new. I've never heard this before. I did not know that the Russians had hacked into the Soros Foundation, and they had conversations between Democrats and the Soros group to set up a plot to say that Trump was a Russian agent. And it was known before Crossfire Hurricane, the FBI was going to provide oil to it. So this was a conspiracy to blame Trump for being a Russian agent to distract from the Clinton email scandal to affect the outcome of the 2016 election.
These people are not out of the woods. I think people like Brennan believe that the statute of limitations for perjury will protect him. His testimony before Congress, in my view, stands directly contradicted by this evidence. The problem for him is that there's a suggestion that this was an ongoing conspiracy, and that would extend that statute of limitations. But the greatest problem of all is that they're going to be called back to Congress. They're going to be asked these questions again. And either they're going to take the Fifth Amendment or they're going to have to come up with something different from what they said below it before, in my view. What is really astonishing is to see Brennan and Clapper say, we never relied on the Steele dossier, when Brennan intervened to make sure that the Steele dossier was part of that assessment.
So here we are, nine years on. I mean, there was no justice at the start. Most people now, they're tired of the story that was brought out by Ramaswamy last night on one of the shows. I'll play the clip later. But more detail, and we're trying to decide what's new, what isn't new. But it establishes what we've known for years, going on 9 years. It was all a hoax. They were all in on it. And nobody, at least not to this point, has been held to account. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. You can get to the show through our Rumble channel and also at our website, thetrumpet.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get your feedback. We were able to read a few emails yesterday, finally, on the show. Today, I believe we've got this week's installment of World Watch and maybe a follow-up. We'll see how we can race through some of these details and still try to paint the big picture as well. But if we can get through all of that, we'll follow up on all of this anti-Semitism, the Jew hatred, the fact that even many Republicans are turning on Israel. If we don't touch on that today, we'll come back to it next week. As I told you yesterday, I mean, it's in the news. It's not going away. Because the hatred worldwide, it's intensifying. And through it all, I've got another clip from Gadi Taub, who praises Bibi Netanyahu for being a great leader during such difficult times for him politically, for Israel, the state in the Middle East. And it really does fit perfectly with what my father has in the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. Donald Trump, this morning, he tweeted out, the Russia hoax is now totally undisputed. The facts are all there in black and white. It's the biggest scandal in American history. The perpetrators of this crime must pay a big price. This can never be allowed to happen in our country again. And of course, if time were to go on long enough, it would happen again as soon as they return to power. These crooks, these dirty cops, these traitors. And so here comes the angry tweet, and he's spot on. It's pretty simple and straightforward. But then you venture over into the DOJ and the FBI, and you got to really wade into the legalese. You've got to look for the evidence, the proof. And it has to be in black and white. I mean, the surveillance camera pretty much has to capture the crime on tape. Because, I mean, after all, we're going to have to convince a judge and a jury. I was telling Sam when I was coming in here how much this all reminds me of the 6 years of litigation over Mystery of the Ages and the other writings of Herbert Armstrong. I mean, we knew straight away going in, Jodikoch Jr. had said in his book, Transformed by Truth, that they had a Christian duty. I mentioned this yesterday. A Christian duty to keep Mystery of the Ages out of print. So imagine how surprised we were in all of the court proceedings when we heard WCG officials come out and say, no, actually, we're going to print an annotated version of Mystery of the Ages. And then later they said, you know what, we're gonna distribute Mystery of the Ages electronically, so your members should be satisfied with that. We will attach a preface to it, the infamous preface, not unlike the Steele dossier. And we'd have to figure out in court or during the depositions, we'd have to try to establish that, no, you have no plans for Mystery of the Ages. You said so in the book, Transformed by Truth. Your fruits show you got it out of circulation in less than 3 years. You burned or destroyed excess copies. You've called Herbert Armstrong, the author, a heretic. And then they'd lie in court. They'd say it's something different, and we'd have to try to prove it, wading through all these details, going through manuscripts. And it took so much time. It took a lot of resources. Obviously, it takes a lot of money. That's why all these players, I mean, they're lawyering up, yes, but they also have a lot of wealth to where they can get it to bog down, perhaps for years. Look at what they've done already, and it's not even been in court. But it just, like, to go into a court proceeding from our standpoint back in 1997 or 1998 to try to convince a judge that these people over here, they hate Mystery of the Ages, they hate Herbert Armstrong, and they did everything possible to destroy his teachings, his writings, his work. So when they're sitting over there saying, no, actually, we've got some important plans for Mystery of the Ages. They're lying. But then, you know, as you know, with the American legal system, I mean, you have got to be thorough. You have got to lock down every detail. I mean, in one sense, to come up here today for this audience and to say, you know what? The Steele dirty dossier is fake. It was created by Hillary and the DNC. And get this, Obama knew all about it. And Brennan told Obama on August 3rd, 2016. Yeah, they're trying to dig up dirt on Trump. And then now we know, thanks to this annex, which should have been released when the Durham report came out, but we'll let that go. That's another angle to this, by the way. How many people have known all of these documents? Grassley is wanting, he was pushing for this to be revealed this week. And okay, now it's declassified. Well, he knew. I mean, I've made this point before. Where are all the leakers on the Republican side? And is the goal, is the objective here to just get something declassified and now Grassley can say, yes, we got it out there. Everybody can see it now. Well, what about, what happens to the criminals though? And if nothing happens to them, they're just gonna commit crimes again. But to try to convince this audience that yeah, Obama was in on it, he knew it, he's the one that ordered it. You already know this. I mean, especially if you've read America Under Attack, the whole story is there, but the details just keep pouring forth. And we're wondering what's going to happen. Is anything going to happen? If nothing happens, well, then the criminals just get away with it and they'll commit crimes again. If they ever get the power to do it again, what's to stop them? What will stop them? Listen to President Trump. This was with his interview on Miranda Devine's show, clip 16.
Now, talking about Trump derangement, we've just, Tulsi Gabbard, your DNI, has just released all this incredible declassified information about the Russia hoax, which right. You already always said was a hoax.
We knew anyway.
But now she's referred former President Barack Obama, CIA Director John Brennan, James Clapper, Jim Comey from the FBI, to the Department of Justice for criminal investigation for potential charges. Do you hope that...
And Obama. Who is the ringleader, yeah.
And so do you, are you feeling like even if Barack Obama has presidential immunity, do you think it's kind of justice for them to have to lawyer up, as James Clapper says?
I do. Look, Clapper lied to Congress.
Yeah.
Comey lied to everybody.
Brennan,
he was maybe the worst of the group.
Mm.
These are all bad. These are lowlifes. These are losers. And, you know, I've been beating them for 10 years. You know how many times they were after me for so many different things? And when you think of it, I've been beating them for 10 years, but that I have to waste time and effort instead of focusing on the European Union deal or all these positive things that we can do. And look, this was an attempted coup. Mm. It was a failed coup. I mean, I get to be, here we are, him and Duncan as president of the United States. So you almost say, how did it happen?
Yeah.
There are people that say it's a miracle in a way that I was able to go through all these agencies, and this is before I was president, but they did a lot of bad things. I mean, this was, I would say it was treason. It was treason. They made up all these stories, just fake stories. And yeah, I would say it was serious treason and hurt the country and put the country in danger, you know.
Treason. I mean, he says they're losers too. I mean, we know they're guilty of treason. We know these are losers that we're dealing with. But again, if nothing is done, look at what they were able to do because nothing was done 4, 5, 6 years ago. They effectively pulled off the steal of the century. They stole an election. They arrested Donald Trump, a former president, which now the rules have changed. You're not supposed to do that. But they arrested a former president of the United States 4 times. They raided his home in Florida. They tried to kill him. They tried to assassinate him.
Look at what these people will do. These are, as he often says, sick people. He said earlier today, they must pay for the crime of the century. That's right. That's right. There's no doubting that. But to this point, they haven't paid a price. And so they keep getting away with criminal behavior, with traitorous crimes. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. It's not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set on them to do evil. I mean, won't it be nice in the wonderful world tomorrow when you come out in 1997 and say, we have a Christian duty to bury the truth of God, if you're just punished right away, if you're just smacked down right away? As it was, I mean, we didn't win the rights to Mystery of the Ages for another 6 years. And even then, the Worldwide Church of God was never punished for their wrongdoing. Not really. I mean, they've been punished by God because the work just ground to a halt and was scattered abroad. But, I mean, the ones orchestrating that fundamental transformation, they made off like bandits. They got away with it. I mean, we got the literature. We got the spiritual wealth. We won the way that God views it. But still, for lying and deceiving, there's no punishment. There's no execution of justice, certainly not swiftly. And so we get what we see, whether it was in that court struggle or whether it's in what we're seeing today. Here's this so-called Durham Annex. It's just tucked away in Durham's report. When did the Durham report come out? When was it released? I forget. It was several years ago. And nothing came of that. So all the traitors are still out there. I mean, John Brennan and Clapper, they're all rushing to their friend. And that tells you a lot, too. I mean, if the truth was on their side, they'd be beating down the door, not just of MSNBC, but they'd be going to Fox News. They'd be going to conservative outlets. They'd be saying, listen, there was no conspiracy. We did what we were supposed to do. That's what Brennan said. You saw it in the cold open. Well, why won't you go and talk to Fox News? Because you know, just like you saw in the cold open, you know if you're on friendly territory, they'll just throw you some softballs. What did that woman say in response to Brennan? Listen, this is a news person. But do you worry at all that the Trump loyalists who are installed in those key positions would find a way to punish you regardless of what the evidence reveals? In other words, she's saying, of course you're innocent. But those Trump loyalists that are in those positions now, I mean, does it get you worried at all? She's not asking any kind of a tough question. What? Imagine if that woman were to say, well, now you had these top CIA analysts that said, I don't think we can come out with this assessment report because it's bogus. Yeah, but I mean, the gist, what was the quote of Brennan? Well, but don't you think the gist of it is true? Doesn't it ring true? That's the word he used. What if a reporter said, now you just kind of dismissed criticism from your own agency and said, yeah, I know, but it rings true. So we're going to go with it. Why won't they ask him about that? Or why won't they ask him about his August 3rd memo or the notes that he wrote when he was consulting with Obama? You know, the one where he said, yeah, Hillary's trying to cook up this dirt on Trump. He's a Russian asset. They knew it was bogus from the start. Obama knew it was bogus. And yet look at all that was going on over that summer. Crossfire Hurricane. And then, of course, Obama and Brennan, they pick it up again after Trump wins. And they attach the dossier to the ICA. It was a conspiracy from the very beginning. Listen to Brennan again out there trying to, you know, beat the other side to the punch. Clip 10.
And Donald Trump is not happy about that. Well, it's quite obvious that he is quite sensitive and he doesn't like anybody to criticize him or, in fact, to bring out facts against him. And so I think the people on that list have spoken out, have been willing to actually say when something is done being is wrong by the Trump administration. And so it's clear that there is a vindictiveness, a punitive nature to what he's trying to do with these policies and with these actions. But quite frankly, I'm not going to be intimidated because they're going to be pushing things out there that are false.
Right. It's Trump who's vindictive. It's Trump who's pushing false narratives. And it's Trump who will not be, he's so sensitive to criticism. This guy won't go on a show where anyone would dare criticize him. That's strictly forbidden. And so the reporters, if you can even call them that, they go into an exchange with Brennan thinking that he's a completely innocent man who was just doing his job and Trump and his people are vindictive. So you're going to get the softball questions that he always gets. You know, as far as who's sensitive to criticism, at least Donald Trump will spar with the other side. He does it routinely on Air Force One and press conferences all over the place. And he calls them out. He says, you're fake. You're fake news. It's worse than that. It's worse than that. I mean, now we know the Soros people were in on it with the DNC and Hillary and Obama and the deep state. What was the Soros? The Soros runs Media Matters. So that was probably the connection to the media. They had to make sure the regime media was in on this too. And so here's this dirty dossier. It's just kind of lurking in the shadows for months and months. Even the media knew about it. But they found a way, didn't they? They found a way to hook it onto the fake ICA. And here's Brennan saying, now, we never said there was collusion. We didn't use the specific word collusion in our intelligence assessment. This is clip 11.
And the intelligence community assessment that we wrote back then, that the analysts wrote, said that we didn't have any information whatsoever about what the impact was on the election. That intelligence community assessment never mentioned the word collusion. Mm-mm. Not at all. So what they do is they misrepresent the facts, mischaracterize what is said, and then claim that we were engaged in this big conspiracy.
Never mentioned the word collusion. And yet that was the word we heard as if it was on a repeat playlist. He doesn't need to say collusion in the assessment. The media will say it for him. He doesn't need to say that, well, we didn't have any idea of how much influence it had on the election. The media did it for him. The Washington Post and the New York Times on December 9th, 2016, said that Vladimir Putin interfered in the election, and he did it because he wanted Trump to win. So what does that tell you? We didn't use this word, though. See, this is exactly what we dealt with in fighting for Mystery of the Ages. And so it went on for 6 years when it should have lasted about 6 minutes, the court case. Well, I mean, you obviously said you want to destroy that book. So let him have it. This is the United States of America. There's free speech. You can't just burn books. It's that simple, isn't it? It should be. You know, there have been some tasks in college. I've been teaching at the college for 20-some years. And in some cases, I'll teach a class that I've never taught before, or I'll come back to a class that I've taught many times before. And it just seems like in recent years, I've put more emphasis in my mind, in my study, on my preparations, on just the simplicity of God's truth. I mean, in the college sphere, I'm there to teach God's truth. And that's not to say there's no depth. There's unlimited depth there. Paul said, the depth and the riches of God's truth. But he also said, I mean, there's a simplicity to the truth. And you know who gets in there and confuses things or complicates things? It's always the devil.
And he's the father of lies. And I mean, you can go on TV and wear a nice suit and sound like you're a perfect angel. Which is why, as I always say, you've got to keep coming back to what Jesus said. Judge by fruits. You've got to judge by the fruits. And America Under Attack, again, gives you the whole story. And now the details are coming out. Now it's kind of like we're in the discovery process where they're having to turn over the documents. You're looking at these documents and you're going, here's all the detail, the proof of their lies. Here's all the evidence of their crimes. It's pretty remarkable that they were even putting a lot of these things in emails. Yeah, Hillary, she approved of the Russia hoax. We can run with it. Yeah, and by the way, we need it because we got to try to cover up the email scandal. You know, the servers in the basement. It's all there in print now. And nobody's going to jail, at least not yet. You know, the thing that's probably the most embarrassing and shameful out of all of this is that you had Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. They were sounding the alarm about as loudly as anybody. And now they're the cops. Now they're the law enforcement officials. And they've been pretty quiet recently. Why? You wrote an entire book about it, calling the other side gangsters, calling John Brennan a gangster. Well, is he a gangster or not? And if he is, I mean, you're the head of the FBI. I sent Sam a link the other day. They went after this former NBA player who set up illegal poker games in California. The feds, I mean, they're patting themselves on the back. Yeah, we're going after the criminals. Well, okay, get the guy who has an illegal poker game going on. But listen to what's happening. Look at what's happening in D.C. Look at what's happening in Congress. I mean, we've got treasonous agents that tried to overthrow the government of the United States. They went after a former president like you've never seen anybody go after a former president of the United States. And we've got federal agents. I mean, they're cracking down on poker. Okay. Got it. But what about this? What about this? Miranda Devine asked President Trump, given all the persecution that he's been subjected to. She asked him, are you at all angry? Listen to this, clip 17.
Do you feel angry now?
Yeah, I do a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had Hillary Clinton down to whatever we wanted to do with her. And I felt it was inappropriate. She's the wife of a president. Mm. She was a secretary of state. And we could have done a very big number.
Yeah.
And I said, we don't want to be doing that. Let's, you know, put it into the country and not. The concept of putting her in jail, indicting her, all the things that you have to do. You know, it's tough stuff. Mm. And I said, we don't want to do that. In fact, you remember I made speeches when I mentioned her name, they started to lock her up.
Yeah.
And I said, no, this is after we won. We just won. And I said,
you wanted the country
we have to get back to, yeah. We want to heal. And yet they did it to me.
Yeah.
So I feel differently. I mean, I'm a human being. Yeah. I have my feelings too. And so I feel differently about it. Obama, what he did was terrible. What Brennan did and Clapper and Comey and all these lightweights, they're stupid people, actually. Mm. But what they did, and so unnecessary. And they made it really hard. But ultimately, I don't know, they toughen you up. You either learn that you can do that. How many people could handle that?
Yeah.
I've had so many people said, how did you handle that every day? And they come up with these different scams. They're all scams, and they're still doing it. You know, they're doing it now.
And how do you stop it? How do you stop it? He sees that not going after Hillary was a mistake. And he thinks differently now. And good for him to admit that. Ecclesiastes 8:11, should I repeat it? Because sentenced against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. There are still, I mean, that's been a continuous theme in these past 6 months. I mean, yesterday I talked about the economic boom I guess the jobs numbers were down today, but on the whole, I mean, you're seeing all of these trade deals. You're seeing tariff money coming into the coffers. You're seeing the markets in Japan and Europe and everywhere else opening up. I mean, it's a resurgence. But you're also seeing more evil than ever before. You're also seeing more sickness, more spiritual disease than ever before. And you're not seeing any sentences handed out, at least not yet. Our news gatherers put together a few points on the revelations in that Durham annex. Four new things, as they put it. Obama sanctioned the use of all administrative levers to remove possible negative effects from the FBI investigation into the Clinton email scandal in March of 2016. And then you find out in these details that Obama told Loretta Lynch, the AG at the time, you better go tell Comey and company to back off of Hillary. I can't have the email server scandal tarnish my legacy. That's in the report, too. There's the president of the United States basically putting pressure on Loretta Lynch, something that Obama was saying all through 2016 that he never did. Oh, there's a wall of separation between the presidency and the DOJ. I don't interfere. He was like the interferer in chief, this guy. He knew all about it. He was the president at that time. Another detail to emerge from Durham. It showed that Hillary Clinton personally approved the plan to smear Trump as a Russian asset. She approved of it. She signed off on it. She paid for the dirty dossier. She was one of the first in the Get Trump movement. Working together with the dear leader. It showed that the Clinton campaign was expecting the FBI to pour oil on the fire from the very beginning. Those words are actually in that Durham annex. Pour oil on the fire. Look, we've just got to get the dirt out there. We've just got to try to smear Donald Trump, and the FBI will pour oil on it. In other words, the FBI is working with us. The Obama people, they're working with us. And then now you see the added detail about the George Soros Foundation involved from the beginning. So there was probably their line straight direct to the regime media. Put out all the disinformation, put out all of the propaganda. We'll get George Soros and company to help us get the message out. And I mean, they got it out. The media amplified it. Doesn't matter that they didn't use the specific word collusion. I mean, Joe Scarborough did. Jake Tapper. The real collusion is revealed in the Durham Annex. The collusion was between Clinton's camp, the DNC, the Soros Foundation, the Obama presidency, and the deep state, the FBI, the CIA, all of them. They all colluded. It was a conspiracy to prevent Trump from being president. And then when he miraculously became president, the conspiracy continued to try to destroy his term, his presidency. And then, even when they got him out through stealing an election, they continued to try to destroy him, even physically. And the conspiracy continues, doesn't it? Because the cover-up continues. So forget about the statute of limitations. They're still conspiring. They're still trying to cover their tracks. And more evil is revealed. Let's see what President Trump's cops do with all this information. The dirty cops are finally out, at least those that were at the top. Comey, Brennan, Clapper, and so on. In the morning brief, Richard Palmer writes, evidence linking Barack Obama's intelligence services to the creation of the Trump-Russia collusion narrative was exposed yesterday as an annex to the special counsel John Durham 2023 report. So there it was. It was buried for 2 years. Whatever came of the report, I mean, the one that was released in 2023, says here, Russia seemed to have hacked the emails of the Open Society Foundation, that's the Soros group, a source presumably within Russian intelligence, then passed some of this on to the FBI. The emails, if genuine, show collusion between the Clinton campaign and Obama's FBI. Obama has no intention to darken the final part of his presidency and legacy by the scandal surrounding Clinton. It says, it quotes another memo or email, to solve the problem, the president puts pressure on FBI Director James Comey through Attorney General Lynch. Obama, you see, all roads lead to Obama. Another one says, Barack Obama sanctioned the use of all administrative levers to remove possibly negative effects from the FBI investigation of cases related to the Clinton Foundation and the email correspondence in the State Department. So there you go. You can venture into the weeds a little bit more, find a few more details out. But don't forget about the big picture. That's what's so refreshing about what the way Tulsi Gabbard has approached this, these revelations that she's been declassifying. She just straight up says, it's treason. It's treason. It was a coup. It was a rolling coup. That's what you have to keep coming back to. She was on, by the way, Tulsi Gabbard with Glenn Beck. Listen to this exchange, clip five.
Let's see. Mark Elias. Stop posting on X. Brennan has lawyered up. John Kerry has made his account private. Peter Strzok deleted his entire X history. Are you sensing they feel the walls are closing in?
That, for in my view, that's the only way that I can read this situation. Those who are truly innocent would not be taking those kinds of actions.
We were talking before we went on the air, and I said, you know, I'm struggling with my job right now, because it at times doesn't seem like it's worth it. It makes any difference at all, because I don't know what I believe in. I don't know what's true anymore, Tulsi. I don't know, you know, I can't sit here and on the air and talk about problems if there's not a solution. It feels insane. It feels insane. I keep doing the same thing over and over again, beating the head against the wall and saying, look at, here's proof, here's proof, here's proof. And nothing happens. Do you sense that? Do you think the people around you understand what danger the country is in right now? Because they just don't believe there's justice on any front.
So, some interesting questions there from Glenn Beck. I can't keep coming on my show and talking about problems if there's no solution, if they never get dealt with, if they're never fixed. Here again, you go back to just basic Bible principles. If you discover evil in the camp, you have got to punish it. You have got to remove it. This is the way you deal with sin, period. When it's brought to our attention, when it's exposed, when we get corrected, well, we have to remove the sin. We have to remove the leaven, or else it will spread. That's in the Bible too, that analogy, that example. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And that's what we're seeing. People whose hearts are set on evil. It's like it says in Genesis 6, describing the time just before the flood. The heart of man, it was on evil continually. There was no let up. They were living through a similar time in Noah's day. The evildoers weren't being punished. They were just roaming the land like wild dogs. It's amazing. More and more evidence and more inaction. It's like people are paralyzed. It's like, you know, as I said, Chuck Grassley finally gets the annex declassified and, you know, he's patting himself on the back. This is exciting. Well, not if there's no solution to this problem. She gets the support from special services, i.e. the FBI, the CIA. This is from the annex. According to data from the election campaign headquarters of Hillary Clinton, Clinton approved a plan of her policy advisor, Juliana Smith, to smear Donald Trump by magnifying the scandal tied to the intrusion by the Russian special services in pre-election process to benefit the Republican candidate. As envisioned by Smith, raising the theme of Putin's support for Trump to the level of the scandal would divert the constituents' attention from the investigation into Clinton. Well, there you go. Clinton supporters in the FBI lack conclusive, irrefutable evidence of the Russian Federation's involvement in the scandal. But that doesn't matter. I mean, you don't need evidence if you're just coming up with a smear campaign. Just smear away. And Joe Scarborough and Jake Tapper will run and run and run with it. And nobody is held to account. Obama, he can tell Lynch to go soft on Hillary Clinton. And that's no problem. That's no problem. Listen to this one. One of the emailers, his name's Bernardo. Bernardo. Julie says it will be a long-term affair to demonize Putin and Trump. It's amazing, again, that some of these things are recorded in emails. Yeah, the goal here, demonize Trump. Now it is good for a post-convention bounce. Later, the FBI will put more oil onto the fire. Listen, we've got a strategy here. We've got to demonize Trump, and then when the FBI gets involved, they're just going to add to it. Same guy emailing. HRC approved of Julia's idea about Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections. That should distract people from her own missing email. The point is making the Russian play a U.S. domestic issue. Say something like a critical infrastructure threat for the election to feel menaced, since both POTUS and Vice President have acknowledged the fact IC would speed up searching for evidence that is regrettably still unavailable. Just, I mean, show me the man. I'll find the crime. And we'll get the intelligence community in on it. We know we've got the media in our back pocket. It was all a hoax. Worse than that, it was treason. It was an attempted overthrow of a duly elected president, or one that would be, in November of that year. Page 18 of the Durham Annex, and this is Durham's team writing, it says, in the days and weeks following the receipt of the sensitive intelligence from T1, not sure what that is, multiple high-ranking U.S. officials received reports and briefings conveying or summarizing, among other information, the intelligence concerning the purported plan by the Clinton campaign. For instance, on August 3rd, 2016, during a meeting at the White House, CIA Director Brennan briefed President Obama, Vice President Biden, DNI Clapper, FBI Director Comey, and other U.S. officials regarding Russian interference efforts, as well as the T1 intelligence received concerning the referenced plan by the Clinton campaign. Brennan's handwritten notes stated, in part, we're getting additional insight into Russian activities that cite alleged approval by Hillary Clinton on 26 July of a proposed plan from one of her foreign policy advisors to vilify Donald Trump by stirring up a scandal claiming Russian interference by the Russian security services. They not only knew about it, they knew it was a hoax. And they all ran with it. They all went with it. And by now, you know, the average ordinary U.S. citizen is probably just bored to tears. 9 years on, This is Jesse last night with Vivek Ramaswamy, clip four.
You think the mainstream media is going to cover this one?
Well, of course they're not, Jesse. But here's the thing about these stories. I'm glad the truth is now coming out. Belatedly, though, and here's the problem with that. The story is just too confusing. If you think about ordinary Americans at home, thinking about whether they're going to put food on the dinner table, thinking about safety in their inner cities, now they're hearing about this. This is now dating back years. This is in some ways the left's plan and the deep state's plan in some sense all along is this is all going to come out some point in the future, they figure. But by the time it comes out, it's so confusing. People forget even who Christopher Steele even was, let alone the cast of characters that followed. And in some ways, I think that's the travesty of the whole situation is that even when transparency and perhaps justice is served, it's long past the point where the public is able to make sense of it. And I do think in some ways that's the calculated risk that a lot of these people took nearly a decade ago.
Because the sentence isn't executed speedily. Well, the evildoers just keep running roughshod over the country, over D.C. I mean, he makes the same point. It's too complicated. It's too confusing. My father makes that exact point in America Under Attack. He says Satan has the power to conduct great evil and not only hide it, but then accuse others of committing it. We saw this with Obama's use of the deep state in general and the Mueller investigation specifically. It's an example of the depths of Satan. You can read about that in Revelation 2 and verse 24, the depths of the devil. My father says you can prove the real purpose of the Mueller investigation, but Satan knows that if he makes it complicated enough to require deep study to understand it, most people won't dig into it, and he can deceive them. Just make it a little complicated, and most people won't want to look into it. I mean, listen, I got to be honest. When Sam and others are more diligent about going through all the details of these new documents that are no longer classified, and I go through their notes and try to make sense of it. And this morning I was about to tell Sam, why don't you just take the program? You know these details more than me. Nearly gave him a heart attack. But you get into it, you just don't want to lose sight of the big picture here. Most people, I mean, if I get tired of the details, if I throw my hands up in the air, what must most people do? They just as well, I guess they got away with it. I mean, in my heart of hearts, I feel like they got away with treason, but, you know, I'm not going to read through a 39-page annex. And even that, by the way, I think that those people who put together those reports could put the information together with greater simplicity, like Tulsi Gabbard is when she's out there talking about the classified documents. But everyone's got to do it with this educated-sounding legalese. And part of it, knowing human nature, is meant to just make people look smart, make themselves look good. Well, if the ordinary ones, you know, if the plebs can't understand it, that just shows how brilliant I am. And then you got to run if you're a host and get, you know, a commentator who's an attorney just to try to decipher it. It's maddening, the whole process. There's a simplicity in God's truth. There's unlimited depth for sure, but there's a simplicity that's there. And when God opens our minds to the truth, I mean, like my father says in John's gospel, the love of God, I mean, we should be jumping up and down, jumping for joy because of what we know. Because God has helped our minds to be able to understand this book. And, you know, I said earlier this week, look at how much confusion there is on the meaning of the Bible. Everybody's got their different interpretation. Satan gets in there and he complicates things. He makes it a little confusing. And of course, God put it together in a way where, it, like Isaiah 29 says, it's here a little and there a little. You can't just read it from the start to the finish and have a complete understanding of God's purpose. You've got to put certain scriptures together with other scriptures. And that's what Mystery of the Ages does. It like Mr. Armstrong said when he was distributing it in 1985, he said it allows you to understand the Bible. And that's what Satan hates about Mystery of the Ages. And that's why he blotted it out in less than 3 years. And then later, vowed to keep it out of print. And what would have happened had we not fought for that book? Well, it would have just disappeared, I guess. You have to fight for the truth. And the good news is, I mean, if you fight for it, your understanding of it will deepen. Oh, the riches and the depths. And you'll be able to look at scriptures. You'll be able to see world events. You'll be able to see problems. And then you also can see solutions. I've got some encouragement for Glenn Beck. The solution is God's government. The solution is the return of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The solution is the wonderful world tomorrow when everyone's going to be looking to God and to His commandments for guidance, for direction, and God can finally stamp out the spirit of murder and lying and deceit. Satan, of course, for his part, will be put away in chains, bound. And the truth, God's truth, will set the world free, finally. I'm going to reserve a few minutes here at the end for World Watch. Had a brain freeze there. World Watch is what we call it. That goes for about 3 minutes, and it'll take you just a little bit over again, but we won't charge you for that extra minute. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show. We thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.
After Japan's long-ruling Liberal Democratic Party lost its parliamentary majority on July 20th, China's foreign ministry said Beijing desires closer collaboration with Tokyo. Japan's two right-wing populist parties have made significant gains recently, resulting in the LDP's loss in the upper house. This follows its humiliating defeat in the lower house in October and marks the first time the party has not held a majority in either house since it was established in 1955. China and Japan have long been rivals, but Bible prophecy shows that a massive Asian military alliance will soon take shape, led by Russia and China and including Japan. Japan's political instability may strengthen its ties with China and Russia, setting the stage for the formation of this alliance. To learn more, read Russia and China in Prophecy. On July 28, India's finance minister called for resumption of business relations with China and the latest sign of reconciliation between the world's two most populous nations. India and China have been rivals for decades, fueled by territorial disputes and competing ambitions for influence across Asia. In October of 2024, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi initiated a thaw by meeting Chinese President Xi Jinping. He agreed to grant China de facto control over some disputed areas along their border. That landmark meeting was followed up earlier this July with a group of Indian officials traveling to Beijing, the first of such visits in 5 years. Last week, India accelerated the reconciliation by resuming tourist visas for Chinese citizens after a 5-year gap. The South China Morning Post called the move the latest sign of a thaw between the two neighbors. Biblical prophecy shows that a partnership between India and China will emerge in the modern era, supported by Russia. To understand more about this alliance, read India, Asia's Other Economic Powerhouse, from our booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz announced on July 28th that Germany, in cooperation with Jordan, will establish an air bridge to deliver humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip. Defense Minister Boris Pistorius will coordinate efforts with France and the United Kingdom to support the initiative. Merz noted that the effort will only provide a small amount of help, but failed to acknowledge Israel's own initiative, which has saved thousands from starvation despite Hamas's attempts to control aid distribution. Unlike Israel's initiative, Germany will not be able to prevent the goods from falling into terrorist hands. It would be naive to believe that Germany is oblivious to this reality. So why is Germany pushing its own initiative instead of supporting Israel's? To understand what Germany's involvement in the conflict is really about, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, As You Watch Gaza, Watch Germany. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.